Welcome, Yotam.
Thanks for having me, Aviva.
Thank you for coming. It's so fun to be here with you.
You too. With you too.
We were texting for quite some time, so it was kind of fun to like put a face to the phone number.
Yeah, it's a lot of amazing people around us for to sure. see and to meet the people and to do this journey together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's cool that you're here. So where do you live in Israel?
Today I'm living in Netanya. It's the middle of Israel, right next to the shore. My girlfriend, Noam, born and raised in Emek Hefer. It's a settlement, a group of settlements nearby Netanya. This is where I live right now.
What do you do for work?
When I was 16, I opened up my first business, dropshipping and e-commerce digital worlds. Just like find myself in digital marketing and start to produce parties and at the age of 19. This is where I get my Nova friends, the co-founders and partners of mine. This is what I do today, productions and marketing.
Nova has like started in 2014, right?
No, Ktsat LaNeshama is the company that started 2014. It's a group of the co-founders and at the Nova Festival also, but the Nova is a brand that born from Ktsat LaNeshama. Okay. Ktsat LaNeshama in Hebrew, it's a little bit for the soul.
A little bit for the soul. I like that.
Me too. Yeah. So I connect to the Nova at the very first beginning of the brand, of the productions.
What year was that?
It was 2021. We celebrate 3 years after October 7. Was working 2.5 years before October.
So you helped put on the production starting from 2021, like you were part of the team.
Yeah.
So you dealt with all of the, like the marketing assets for Nova?
Yeah, everything. From day one, this is what I want to do. Like I joined the Nova team also because what I do is productions. I'm a producer. From the very first beginning, I knew and I aim for leading the marketing of the company. Day after day, this is what happened.
Wow. So you've been to all the Nova festivals that they've had?
Yeah.
Which one was the best?
Actually, the last one, I can't say it was the best because what happened. It's supposed to be the best and this is going like, it would be the best festival that we had, the biggest, 3 stages, a lot of international DJs, beautiful men's and women's, a lot of art and very special content in this festival. But I think the best before that was Purim 2023. And it also was a funny story because we need to postpone our event a week after the original date because the situation in the country. And we postponed it to a week after and everything was perfect, like perfect festival. The right energies, the right people, the right location, the right DJs, everything, the experience, the whole experience was unbelievable. And at the moment the music stopped, it started raining, and like a half an hour after the festival was end, it was a red alarm over there also.
Where was it?
It was nearby Re'im. In Israel, it's very difficult to make a license event, license open-air events. The government make it very difficult, and you have a lot of things that you must do to make a festival on a license in Israel. So the only areas it's really possible, it's in the south of Israel.
So that was... So that also that party also ended with a red alert.
No, we are end the festival. The festival was end. After people going, half an hour after, it was a red alarm all over there. It was like a few moments after we finished the festival perfectly.
Wow. And then, so you obviously were going to go to the one in October. And so how was it organizing it?
It was very big excitement around this event. It's the first time we cooperate with Universo Paralelo. It's the first time we bring them to Israel. I don't say difficult, but it's a lot of things that we must do to make the branding of this festival good for the two of the brands.
So you had to kind of navigate like their expectations and your expectations.
Yes, exactly. It was a pleasure to work with them, and we hope to work with them again at the Universo Paralelo team. A lot of excitement around this event. We worked like 4 months ahead only about market and to spread the word of what's going to happen in Israel. We have a lot of tickets to sell. At the point that our brand was like 4,000 tickets, it was not little at all. It was a big jump from our previous event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've done a lot of things that we didn't done before.
How many people were you expecting to come? How many tickets did you want to sell?
We want to sell something about 4,000. Okay. Yeah, we get to this goal. Yeah.
And then October 6th, so you get to the festival with your girlfriend.
Right. So no, I get before that. We've been there a whole day before, and we need to build the whole area of the festival. And so this was October 6th, and then at 11 p.m. we open up the gates of the festival. So you work very, very hard to make this festival alive. Yeah. And then you work all night long after the gates are open. to see that everything is okay, the festival is running, all the people is gathered together and in the festival area, all the entrance to move people through the festival. So people start to get into the festival, and a lot of excitement, a lot of happy people smiling all over. At the moment that you put your first feet in the festival area, you feel like it's something that never happened before. It was a feeling like this is an international festival here in Israel. The feel was like indescribable. It was amazing. And then all night long we are still working because you need to promise your crowd that everything, like, you know, that the festival is
a good energy. Exactly.
And yeah, then sure. At the moment the sun is the light before the sun is rising. So this is the time that you understand, all right, the sun is up. In a few moments, you can change your clothes for festival clothes. And now you can finally dance with your friends. That yeah. You invite them to the festival. So I go at 6 and 15 minutes, I think. I go to the supplier's parking that been right behind the main stage. I go to my car to change clothes. At the moment, then I move my shirt off. I go to pee. And when I ping, I see two flashes. Immediately, I understand it's rockets. But inside me, I pray for, please, the festival will not stop. We're working so hard about it. And the moment are here, and everything was perfect.
Did you have any expectation? Like, not expectation, but when you saw those rockets, like, you didn't think it was so serious?
Exactly. I don't think it was so serious. I understand we're in an area that rockets are falling and they're shooting on us. Like, Gaza is nearby. This is, you have to understand. As an Israeli, it's a daily routine. So inside me, I still pray that please don't stop the music. Like, this will end like a few seconds. But then I turn around to the festival, I look at it, and then I see like a total chaos in the skies, hundreds and hundreds of rockets.
More than you've ever seen before.
More than I ever seen in my life. I understand also this is not regular situation. So immediately I understand the festival is over. I see the whole police standing on their feet and running to the festival area to stop the music and to make a red alarm. The red alarm rules. They are like, you need to lay down and put the hands on your head and just to keep safe about the rockets. So I decided I have to find my girlfriend because I know she's must be very nervous about it. So I run to the festival. I see my girlfriend nearby the stage with other friends of mine, and we waiting for a few moments. Then the police say to everybody, guys, you have to evacuate the whole area and to go home. And when you say 4,000 people, guys, you need to get into your cars and drive away from one exit. So it's like a bottleneck. You know, people cannot move. It was huge traffic. So me and my girlfriend take the stuff, our stuff, and then I see my partners, Yagil, Ofir, Omri Sassi, on the stage. And, you know, we are being like, we not rush or something, because we understand some of the daily routine in Israel. So the festival is stopped, but we are not rushed to anywhere. Like, what can we do? In a few moments, it's going to stop. So we're just laughing about the situation. So I took my stuff, my girlfriend, and we go to the car. In our way to the car, I see three friends of mine, very close friends of mine, that came especially from Costa Rica to the festival. So I tell them, guys, you need to come with me. We go to the car and start driving. I understand I want to get out from the main exit where all the people get out, but I see huge traffic. Okay, this road is not possible for me to get out, so I turn around and I drive from the emergency exit area, drive south, because I see north, it's still huge traffic, so I can't get out from there. I go to south, I drive like a mile and a half, 2 miles, and then I stopped nearby Re'im settlement. And I stopped because I see in front of me a very suspicious group of cars stop in a very weird way in the middle of the road. Like one is like that, one is on the side of the road. I don't know, something looks...
Like they weren't, it wasn't... It was just cars stopped in weird positions.
Yeah, in weird positions.
That didn't make sense.
Exactly. So okay. I know that, I don't know, it feels weird for me.
Yeah.
So I stopped nearby a shelter that is in front of Re'im. This shelter is what's supposed to be one of the main murdered area. And a lot of friends of mine murdered in this shelter. And my cousin, my partner cousin, Omri Sassi, his cousin, Nitzan, and her fiancé, her husband, it's right to say, she was on her first month of pregnant. They two also get murdered. And when I stop, I pull over, I open up my phone, and Nimrod, my partner, send us a message. In Hebrew, we say Parash Turki. It's like a code for terrorists are in Israel. It's an army code. So then start to understand what is going on. I open up my window, and the moment I open up my window, I hear very close to me, very loud gunshots. And it sounds like AK-47. It's not sounds like M-16, the usually weapon that our army is using. So I open up my window, I hear this shooting, and they had AK-47, they had machine guns, they had grenades, they had RPG. And they came for a war. They came to kill as many as they can. So 10 seconds after I hear the gunshots, I look in front of me, and then I see the white big truck with the machine guns coming and shooting on the suspicious stop of cars that I saw earlier. Start shooting, I see people running through me, toward me, and then the big white truck is coming to my way and start shooting on my car. And then I immediately understand I have to get the fuck out of there and make a very fast U-turn and drive to the north. And then I drive in to the place that I get out, like the emergency exit before. Over there, it started to be a huge traffic for 4 paths in one way. So you cannot really move with your car. So then I'm like trying to drive between the cars that stopped. I drive, I think, 50 meters. Then I see a very big group of people running to my way from the north. And I start to hear people screaming. They shot my girlfriend. They shot my friend. They shot... I see people with gunshots, like, and injuries. So I say to my friends, guys, we need to leave the car right here and to run away. So we leave all of our stuff. And then the moment I get out, I heard a big explosion from north, and they see like an RPG flew right, like, I don't know, 15 feet from here and explode also. And then I just don't know how, but I understand real quick that I've been at the south and we got shots over there. And in the north right now, they shooting RPGs, they're shooting with the machine guns. And behind me, it's Gaza. So I have only one way to run it. And this is to east, to the direction of Patish settlement. When you see at the famous videos in the open fields, like 2,000 people running away in total chaos. So this is the field we are on at this point. And I look back and I see like people start to falling, and I see big explosion, and all this time like hundreds of rockets are don't stop right above our heads. But at this point, it's the last thing that care about the rockets, because this is now in the fields, this the terrorists are here,
so they're just behind you shooting.
Yeah, they behind me just shooting
and people, everyone's running,
people are like falling down next to me. And at this point, my girlfriend called her mother and say, you know, it was big panic all over. So she called her mother and say, mom, like terrorists are here shooting on us. So at the moment that we are running away for our lives, I need also to talk with her mother and her father and my mother and father, like, to, you know,
are you trying to calm them, or you're trying to
I called them, like I said to them, we're like, in a safe zone,
we're cool, everything's cool, and then
you hear, behind explosions. Us like shooting like and RPGs. So I tell them, listen, everything is fine, we are in safe zone, I will get us out of here, just be cool, don't call me until I will call you, just let me deal with this situation.
Had they heard stuff going on? Did they hear that something was going on, or they didn't even know until you called?
At that point, like starting to tell the world, like the country, what happened, but they didn't hear on my phone what is going to happen. I also ended the conversation real quick because I say to them, like, I need quiet right now. If you want us to get out, you need to stop going.
What was going through your mind when you're fleeing from being shot at? When you're saying it, I'm picturing a movie, and I can't understand, practically speaking, to be in that scenario. Were you disconnected? Were you present? What were you thinking about? How do you digest what's happening?
Control the situation. So specifically, I was very present, understand we are under attack and dangerous, very, very high dangerous for our lives. But I didn't think for one moment that we are going to die. Didn't think about it at all. The only thing that I think about, we're going to be okay, because if it depends on me, we're going to be okay, and we have to get run from here and get to a safe zone, safe place. So this is the only thing that I think about. And then when we are running in the middle of the field, the car hit me also, trying to get out from there, and I fell down. I get up, and when I look into the car and to see who the fuck is driving me over, I see my very best friends from home. Like, God, get us to meet in this situation, the middle of the field, and it's like very rare. People running all over. They don't see me. They're driving, and they hit me, and they don't see me before, after, until the moment they like drive me over. So they've been there, two of my very best friends and two of their girlfriends, and we've been five people. So we jump in. We've been like nine people on private car. My friends that driving call his father that trying to tell us where we need to drive to get out from there. At the moment I get into the car, they told me two friends of mine, also of the same group of friends, also two of my best friends, are in the get shots. They was one of the first people that get out from the area. They terrorists attacked them nearby Be'eri. And so at this point, they've already been at the hospital with gunshots in the leg. And one friend of mine also hit in his face. So now, like, I'm starting to understand that my friends are hit, my very best friends. Now I understand that this is very close to me. about like people getting can die right now, you could get murdered, because you're not understand yet that this is something that can be. You want to believe that the army is on the way.
Yeah.
And to take care of this situation. It's to the way to Urim, more east than Re'im.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're driving and we understand we are alone in the road. Something that's been very scary to us, because you have each car that you see, you think it's terrorists. And the Iron Dome is not continue like shooting data rockets, because we are in open field. And when you are at open fields without any civilians around, the Iron Dome isn't shooting the rockets.
Oh, because it only shoots when it is aimed towards civilian areas.
Exactly. So while we are driving, like rockets are falling.
And you're in a field, yes, so you're in the...
Falling right next to us. And you see holes in the road, smoke everywhere. So we understand we have to get to a shelter for like a few minutes just to calm down the situation. So we get to Urim. And it was Aroma over there. Aroma, the coffee house.
Yeah.
We see like a car of police and a car of army that been there, so we thought it was a safe place for now. Two kids over there are getting shot. So it
by
was,
the aroma?
Was, yeah, so it was injuries. They was injured. So we've been there like a half an hour at this point. My girlfriend was like in huge panic attack. I can't talk with her. And I understand that if we are not moving, if we are static right now, this is the most dangerous thing that we can do for ourselves. We have to be on a movement and run from this area. Actually, it's funny, but I don't think for any second that I thought they're going to murder us. Like, I was extremely positive about this, that we are go from that area and go to a safe place. And this was my only target in my mind, to get a safe or a safe place. So about half an hour after, he decided that we have to run away.
You still felt like unsafe there.
No, even when we get to our homes, we don't feel safe.
Yeah.
Because nobody understands how major this attack. And the reason, like, it's 2,000 terrorists here are in Israel. So we decide we have to drive. And we see terrorists like far away, but we'll keep driving. All the way, I getting phone calls that I will never forget from friends of mine that been on the shelter. And like friends are dying in my phone, getting grenades into the shelter and getting shots. And you know, they like pray for me, please, Yotam, give us help. Like call someone, call the police, call the army, call someone. Someone have to help us. Like they shot and named one of my friends and. They killed and named one of my friends. So feel like hopeless. You can't do nothing. And this is the thing that like break my heart, because it feels so small and do nothing. And it's a phone call of friends of mine that they are run for their lives and just breathing in my phone. Like they don't say a word. And in this point, we start to get locations from Nimrod, my partner, publish a post that tell everyone, listen, each location that you have with people over there, send me immediately. He get in few hours like more than 5,000 text messages. So we start.
There's like a WhatsApp group for the Nova Festival that he sent to people, or he just posted on social?
Posted in social media.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was also a group of the team, of the Nova team. Mm. So also all of the group of people start to get location from other people and to send it to us.
Yeah.
Yagil, actually, one of my partners, that is a fucking superhero,
yeah.
And I can't describe it differently. He was the first person that he get a direction for all this, the people that been there, and say to them where they should be running for a safe space. And he was the first person with his security company, because he is the security company also. Of the event. So with all his security guys to fight back the terrorists and save over 200 lives that day and kill and like I don't know, but a lot of terrorists in the festival area. He had a gun on him, and at some point he go off one of the settlements and bring like a long weapon and get back to the festival again. And he built like a small unit of people to help him fight back. And then I get my home like in 11 a.m. when we are running from the aroma. At 11, we've been at our homes. And then at 12 and 4 minutes, I think, I get a video from the Hamas first footages of the people they kidnapped. And the two first faces that I see, it's two friends of mine. One is Elkanah, that was one of the partners of the second stage in our festival, because we bring of a group of people that called Mushroom Project. This is also very quality production. Take over about the second stage with their lineup, with their style of production. So he was one of the partners of this group, and his kidnap and Osher and Michael, his partners, there was three, they murdered at the festival. So I believe we don't really understand at this point of the attack how major it is and how many people we lost. But the weeks after was very, very rough.
Yeah.
It was like 5 to 7 funerals a day. And you need to decide for like to which funeral you are going, because one is in the north, one is in the south at the same time. So you need like to choose who is more important. So it's crazy to say it.
Yeah.
I lost 48 friends. 48 personal friends of mine murdered at the festival. And when I say this number, it's like sounds so real. Sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is fucking crazy. It doesn't sound crazy. Yeah, it is crazy.
It is fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, before October 7, if I lose, like if a friend will die in a car accident, your whole world is going upside down.
Yeah.
And here, like now, these days, I say this number of people, and you know, your soul is blocked because the soul cannot, like...
Can't fathom.
Yeah, get this into you, because you will fall apart. I never will think about the amount of people getting, that will get murdered. It's not something that we think that can be possible in our country, or in this like pure music festival of build on values of hope and love and life, and such a colorful people and beautiful people. Oh yeah, so this is October 7th. Yeah.
And so after everything had happened and you processed that you lost a lot of your friends, how are you attempting to heal? How do you go on with life? It's beyond, I can't even understand.
Yeah. So I think I don't really understand yet the amount of people that I lost.
You're still processing.
I'm still processing. I think I'm going to process all my life.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that is human, what happened over there. It's the pure evil. It's the pure devil. It's against humanity. This is why we are doing the exhibition also, to show the people. This is unpolitical exhibition. It's only to show the world what happened, what big group of people that came only to dance and to hug and to celebrate life, which kind of ruin attack, such a hard attack on them, can really happen in this world in 2024, because it can be any other music festival. It can be Burning Man, Coachella, Tomorrowland. It's actually happened 3 days before at the German festival. So it can be anywhere, anytime. And people need to be aware of what can happen. And now I will get back to your question. How I heal myself, how I get the treatment. But the main treatment and the main way that I'm healing myself, it's to give back to my community. It's a true doing. It's through doing stuff and get back to do stuff and to be there for my community. But I don't forget myself also. I give a place for myself, for my emotional place that I'm in him, like at this point. And I put my focus on just doing good things, and for my community, for the resilience of my community, to spread the word, to memorize the friends of mine, like the beautiful souls that left us, not about the tragedy, and not only about the tragedy, but about the people that they was before. Mm. And they, like, intelligence and smart and beauty and values that they believe in, because this is what they want to stay behind after them. People remember who they was, because it's the most top quality people that I met whole life.
Do you mind? I know this might be difficult, but I'm just curious. Like, you know, we have a room in the exhibit where it's all the people who we lost at the Nova Festival.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing one person, like a name, and describing that person so we can
I will tell about some very close people who've been very close to me.
Yeah.
Actually, August 17, the day that we open up the exhibition right here. So I'm doing the whole exhibition from the start to the end. Mm. Like people that see it in his first time.
Yeah.
On his first time. And I do everything, and then when I got to the memorize area with all the pictures of our friends, our community that murdered in the festival, it was the first time that I cried from the 7th of October.
Wow.
My very first time that I'm actually crying was like at August 17. It was like 10 months after the attack. Because my soul, protect yourself.
Yeah.
And don't let myself, like, falling apart. The reason that I really cried, because it's because I see the amount of people that I lose. I see her, Roni Shitrit, was like my sister, just so beautiful from the inside and outside, very funny girl. One of the guys group, like one of our best friends.
Yeah, a people girl.
Yeah, everyone loved her. She was funny. She was smart. She was beautiful. She was like the sunlight. And Gidi Chiel, a person that I take a lot of his point of view of life. Very strong people. Very strong man, mentally and physically also. He was a big guy. He got murdered with his sister and with his best friend, Chalev. And this is also something that we can say about him. He always remember the people around him and always be there for them.
Yeah.
And he was a phenomenal entrepreneur and he make productions and bring a whole scene to Israel of acid techno and hard techno. Music scene that been a little bit in Israel, but never at that scale. And so I'm very proud of his way and what he approach in his life. And Mapal Adam, very close friends of mine, actually make a tattoo for her, for Eli Solomon and Barley. Three friends of mine from the same group of people. We make a sunflower because they recognize with sunflower. So the three leaves are fall apart from this sunflower. The best of the best, like truly are the best of the best. And I will always remember them for now and for the rest of my life. And everything that I've done right now is to memorize them, to take care of the world, never forget what happened, because these people are not murdered just like that. The world will know who they was, and the world will know that he need to be a better place. Mm. Things like that never going to happen again.
Thank you for sharing that, Yotam.
Thank you for letting me.
Wait, we have one more question.
Yeah.
What does "We Will Dance Again" mean to you?
We will dance again. It's a way of life from now on. We will dance again. It's we will dance again and again and again and again. We will dance again for the souls that left us. We will dance again for the world will know. We will dance again for taking care that this will never happen in this world again. We will dance again. It's our base. This is the thing that everything Nova build on him. dancing. When you are dancing with a group of people on a stage and you together you are making one big energy and make frequency of love and joy and happiness. This is the most powerful thing in this world. This is the truth without words. This is same language, international language. When me and you will dance at the same stage, at the same dance floor, and we are next to each other and listening to the same DJ and see in our eyes the same people around us, and the same decoration, the same location, the same skies or trees, and just doing this simple thing, just dancing, is who we are. So we are equal people in this world. Never mind if you are working in the government, all right, or you are a lawyer or a very successful real estate person. And me isn't just for the example, artist or an teacher or education like person. It's just people and things. Never mind, you understand me. This is, it doesn't matter what I do in my life and what you do in your life. When you are dancing at the same dance floor, we are same person. It doesn't matter if you have kids, if I'm fat or skinny, if I'm pretty or not, if I have blue eyes, green eyes or brown eyes as I have right now. And this is really doesn't matter. Dancing is the thing that everyone can do. And this is why our community is so special, because this is what we are believing, that everyone is equal. It doesn't matter which language do you speak or what is the color of my body.
Yeah.
And my skin. So we will dance again. This is a sign of hope that we will back to do this again and again and again. And we will not let anyone win our base of values of dancing, even not the terrorists. We dance for more than 405 people that murdered at the festival, and we are dance for praying the hostages will come back quickly and soon as possible.
Yes.
And we are dancing to remember until the end of our life and hopefully the end of this world, maybe. We will never forget it, and we will never stop dancing. We will never stop fighting of our rights, for the good rights and the good people that have in this world, and for the good. We will never stop fighting for the light. We will continue spread our lights, our light, our love, our values. And I believe this is what will bring us maybe one day to a better world, maybe not, but
I hope so.
We will focus on that, yeah. I hope so one day. People just need to wake up because it can face them early as they think if the world will continue behave like that. So, yeah.
Thank you, Yotam. I'm so happy that I caught you before you leave back to Israel. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was great. Thank you, Aviva.